Good morning. My name is Kyle Thompson. I'm the College and Engage Minister here at Shiloh Road, and we're just so glad that you're with us this morning. Welcome again to all of you joining us online. We know plenty of people are traveling. In fact, my very own family is gone. They are still in Oklahoma with family. I drove in yesterday evening from just a wonderful time with family. How many of y'all celebrated this weekend? Was it a great weekend? Did you eat your fill of hot dogs and hamburgers like the founding fathers wanted us to? Yes, we shot fireworks and had a blast. Anyway, that's my only pun for the day. But hey, we are celebrating this weekend 250 years in this country. How incredible is that? 250 years since we gained independence from Great Britain. 250 years. How many of y'all remember that? Remember those days? Nope, nobody? 250 seems like a lot. I turned 33 in June. I do not feel that old, but I got to tell you, when I think about 250 years, that seems like an eternity. What's crazy is even this morning, we sang a few songs that are actually more than 250 years old. Did you know that? Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing was originally written in the year 1758, 18 years prior to 1776 when we gained our independence. Be Thou My Vision is an old Irish poem, and can you imagine when that was written? They say in the 6th or the 8th century, around the 800s. Wow, that's a long time. In a lifetime, though, 250 years seems like such a long time, and yet when we look to creation, when we look at the world around us, we're shown some far greater, far older things. Look at the world around us. Look at the trees and the plants and the things that they seem to outlast all sorts of things that humanity does. Just over in California, we have a tree called the Methuselah tree. It's right here, this pine tree. This pine tree is actually the oldest individual tree in existence. And this tree itself, it is, well, think of it this way. What's the best time to plant a tree? Come on, you know this. When's the best time to plant a tree? Yesterday. When's the second best time to plant a tree? No, it's actually 4,857 years ago. That's 4,857 years this thing's been hanging out in California. Far before the hippies. Far before Arnold got there. Right? Anyway, this is the oldest individual tree, but the oldest actual tree, if we want to get real technical, it's technically the oldest living organism. It's from Utah, and it's called the pando. They don't even call it a tree necessarily. It's called the pando, and you'll see it here in this image. The pando. You see, it looks like a bunch of different trees, right? Looks like a forest of trees, and yet the root system is interconnected. And scientists say that if you were to pick a leaf or a branch off of any one of these individual trees, the DNA is identical because the tree is actually interconnected by its roots in such a way that this is the largest living organism and also the oldest, 106 acres, not the largest. Doug's going to correct me. It's some fungus up in the... Anyway, that's a different one. That's fun. This is the oldest living organism, and it takes up 106 acres in Utah. Now get this, this organism, on the smaller end of the estimate, is twice as old as the Methuselah tree. 10,000 years, potentially. Think about that. Think about all that this organism has seen come and go in this great land of ours. Imagine if this could talk, you would say, hey, did you hear about America? 250 years. I'm like, oh, that's cute, kid. I remember when, you know. This imagery of a tree, this imagery of lasting, the interconnectedness of the root system there next to the water with the nutrients and everything going on. This is the exact same imagery that Paul is using in Colossians. If you'll turn over to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul is talking to the Colossian people, and he is telling them of Jesus, helping them to see that Jesus is maybe not who you think he is. He's not just somebody that you set on a shelf like other gods and you leave him whenever it comes Monday or Tuesday. No, Jesus is the end-all be-all. Jesus is everything to you. You want to talk about your life? You have no life outside of Christ. And so in verse 6, he starts, he says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Some versions may say, continue to walk in him. Verse 7, rooted, there's that idea, that imagery, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This idea of rooted in him, being built up in him. I don't know much about plants, but I do know that a large majority of their nutrients comes from their root system spreading out to where there is more nutrient-dense soil, where it can be strengthened from the very bottom. And so as it grows, it is strengthened from the very foundation. Paul is saying, if you're in Christ, he's begging you, truly, be rooted in Christ. And he asks the question, really, where are you planted? Where is your life planted? This life, if we want to live a life that is truly one worth living, if we want to live a life that is really a legacy, then he asks, where are you planted? Another way to say it is, what is the source of your wisdom for this life? Is it one of nutrient-dense soil? Is it Christ himself who is your life? Is that where you're finding your wisdom to live, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday? But is that where you're seeking your wisdom when you go out into this world and you live amongst everyone else? Just this morning, we're getting ready to go to Netsis camp. We have a handful of our college students going with us. One of our students mentioned that she went with John to Walmart yesterday, and John was buying some food because I warned him. I said, "Hey, John, you like to eat? Camp is not the place for you. Camp food is not great food, I'll just be honest." And so I told him, I said, "Hey, John, you might want to get you something that's really going to sustain you, that's going to fill your stomach." And as they were shopping, he said to Sarah, he goes, "Sarah, I think I'm just going to get a loaf of bread. Do you think Kyle would be okay with that?" And she's like, "I don't know what he would think of it, but John, a loaf of bread's not going to fill you." And so she convinced him. John put the bread back on the shelf, and he got some protein bars. And so don't worry, John should survive this week. But I leaned over to John this morning. I said, "Hey, John, can I mention the whole bread story?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's fine." And I said, "Okay, I'll try not to embarrass you too much." And he said, "Well, I just like bread." Okay. But it's so interesting that a loaf of bread, somebody had something to say about man shall not live by bread alone, right? A loaf of bread versus, say, a protein bar, in terms of sustaining you, well, it's obvious which one you need to pick. And yet, in terms of living our life, what are we rooted and built up in? What do we find ourselves reaching for with our roots? What are we taking in on a daily basis? What are we looking to and listening to and allowing to take root in our lives in such a way that when somebody shakes us up and rattles us up, that's what overflows? Is it in the love and the truth and the wisdom of Christ Jesus, or is it in the things of this world? Is it in the loaf of bread that we just like to eat? Is it in social media or the news? The wisdom of our friend group that, oh man, we find ourselves talking to people who think like us, and so, well, hey, I tell my friends and they don't call me out for it. Are we seeking the wisdom of Christ, being rooted in him, stretching and trying our best to find the nutrients to be strengthened for this world? Because the next thing Paul says is, he says, to be strengthened in the faith which you were taught. What we're nourished by actually strengthens us for times of trouble. I imagine this imagery, thinking of trees. There was a test, an experiment of sorts that happened in Arizona. It was called Biosphere 2. This test was to try to duplicate or replicate the biosphere of Earth so that when we go up into outer space and land somewhere like, say, the moon or Mars one day, we can replicate the things of Earth so that humans can be fully self-sustaining on a different planet. And so they spend all this money trying to replicate Earth in its atmosphere, trying to grow plants and vegetables so that they could eat. One scientist said this in a BBC article, though, talking about the trees. He said, scientists made other interesting observations. Some trees, they realized, became weak and more prone to breaking, likely because of the lack of wind, which triggers trees to produce, quote, stress wood that strengthens them. They found that without the wind pushing against the trees, that they weren't being strengthened. And so what happens is they're in this environment that's fully protected from any sort of danger or threat. And they grow up too fast, and they're not well rooted, and their trunks, they don't have any sort of resistance to strengthen them. And so what happens is they get too heavy and they fall over and they break and snap and die. In this life, we will have trouble. In this life, we will face difficulties. The question is, how do you respond to difficulty? Do you try your best to insulate yourself and those around you from any sort of trouble in this world? When you see something bad, do you just try to look away? When times get hard, do you try to find a way to just avoid it? Or do you allow the difficult times to actually strengthen you, knowing that your roots are founded in something that will sustain you? He doesn't just say, though, to be strengthened in your faith. See, Paul's not talking just about a personal faith and trust in God. No, he's talking about the faith. The faith, which is all of us working and supporting one another. You think back to the pando tree, that its roots are not just standing on its own. No, those roots are interconnected. And it's this imagery, this idea of as you are being strengthened in your faith, you're actually strengthening my faith as well. See, in Christ, you're not alone. In Christ, your work of being rooted and built up in Him, your work of being strengthened in the faith is actually what can sustain and strengthen those around you. I imagine for most of us in here, if you've experienced any sort of hardship, any sort of loss, any sort of chaos that this world throws at you, you realize the reality of this. That as the world pushes against you, as the winds sweep across you and beat against you, that the only thing that really helps you stand up is your brothers and sisters. That it's the interconnectedness of the body of Christ that actually sustains us and allows us to grow and mature into something far greater than we would by ourselves. Your growth strengthens others. And here's the incredible part. He says, as you are rooted and built up, as you are strengthened in the faith which you were taught, he says that you will overflow with thanksgiving. This is the fruit, if you will. If we have our roots down deep and our trunks are strengthened because anything the world throws at us just makes us stronger, then eventually we produce a fruit that the whole world can see. And that when the world sees us, when the world looks at not only our individual lives, but our life as the body of Christ, the world sees it and they see just the overflowing gratitude and thankfulness that we have for Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because in Jesus, we have strength. In Jesus, we are built up and we are nourished into something that is far greater than anything we can do on our own. Just look at how Paul talks about Jesus earlier on in chapter 2. In verse 2, he says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You hear that? In Jesus is hidden all wisdom and knowledge. People ought to look at our lives and see something different. Something's different about those people because they don't live like the rest of us. Something's different in those people because it doesn't seem like they're just living for something that's about 250 years old. It seems like they're living for something that's been going on for a long time prior and will go on for a long time after. In Christ are hidden all wisdom and knowledge. And the question truly becomes, are we living in that wisdom and knowledge? I'll tell you, Scripture is clear. 1 Corinthians talks about this. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But he says, but for those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. I get what I'm asking you to do seems crazy. I get what I'm trying to strengthen myself to do seems crazy. You mean to tell me I need to live for Jesus in every aspect of my life? I need to spread my roots out towards Him, trying to be strengthened with fellow believers? Well, to those who are outside of the body of Christ, that seems like foolishness. But for us, it is the very power that sustains us. I believe Paul's getting at this. He's getting at the idea that the wisdom of Christ supersedes all human wisdom. I'm going to make sure and emphasize all human wisdom there and say, mine included. I haven't met too many people who think that they're wrong. Have you? My wisdom, our wisdom, nothing compared to the wisdom of Christ. God's not just building us up as individual believers in little echo chambers, trying to get us through till one day we get to heaven. No, He wants to build us all up into something far greater. This year, we're celebrating 250 years of America, and that is awesome. I'll reiterate what Burke said. What a tremendous blessing. Amen? 250 years in a country where we are free to worship how we choose. But 250 years doesn't hold a candle to the eternity that Christ is calling us to. 250 years is just a blip on the radar when compared to the overarching story that God is inviting us into, that He has started since the beginning, that He is fulfilling in Jesus Christ both now and one day when He returns. Which brings us back to each of us here now, though. If that's the picture, if that's what God is wanting to do with us, then the question is, what about you? Are you being built together? Each of us doing our own part. Are you actually spreading your roots deep, seeking the wisdom of God? Are you being built together and strengthened in the teaching, not only just of God, but also as you learn from others? Or are you being just like the rest of the world, seeking wisdom from social media, from the news, from politicians or celebrities, or maybe even just friends and family? The real question for each of us this morning is, are you living by the wisdom of the Word or the wisdom of the world? Are you living by the wisdom of the Word of God, Christ Jesus Himself, or are you living by the world? One leads to eternal life, and the other leads to death. This is one of the few things I believe in Scripture that are very clear, black and white. Not a lot of gray area. We're told that if we are in Christ, we are made alive again with Him. But outside of Him, we are dead. I want to turn us back before we draw to a close to our Scripture reading this morning. In Jeremiah 17, we're going to go back to verse 5. And as we do, I want to show you this one more picture of a tree of sorts, or a group of trees. This is in the Namib Desert. Over 900 years ago, there was a nearby river that flooded the area. And when it did, these trees were able to sprout up because it had become this lush marshland where there was all this nutrients and life happening. But about 900 years ago, these sand dunes came and swept across the area, blocking off all water. And they say some of the dunes are upwards of 1,000 feet, and it cut off all nutrients and life from the area. And so in the desert sun, these trees were scorched black and basically preserved. They're dead, but they're standing as relics of the past of what once was. By the way, that's not a painting, that is a photograph. Nine hundred years they've been standing there. No life, nothing but desert and salt and hot sun. Let's read Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Now look at this image of the pando again as we read the scripture reading from this morning. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Are you living by the wisdom of the Word or by the wisdom of the world? This is an important question, not just for us as individuals, but for us as a body of believers here. Our promise this week comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, which says, "And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." You know the scariest thing for me as a minister? The scariest thing for me as a minister here in America in 2026 is this. We can grow and build a successful church. We can do a lot of really good things. We can thrive here in this place. We can band together, pull all our resources together, all of our strength together, all of our wisdom and knowledge together to do something that the world would look at and say, "Wow, that's really good." And we can do all of that and leave the wisdom of Christ behind. That's a scary thought. That we can do something that looks like life and yet is completely devoid of it. Ephesians 3 talks about the idea that it is through the church that God would share with the world His manifold wisdom. That the world might see through the church the wisdom of God in action. The question is, are we living by the wisdom of the Word or by the wisdom of the world? Because people will see. People will see. Are we overflowing with thankfulness for what God has done in us? Are we truly strengthened in the faith that we were taught? Are we rooted and built up in Christ Jesus as the center of everything that we do? Close with the words of Paul. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I pray, wherever you are this morning, that as we go from here, as we live our lives, that we do so overflowing with thankfulness for what God has done. That people may see that and see the wisdom of God alive and active in this world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the blessing it is to gather as your people in this place. God, we thank you that we get to celebrate true freedom here in this country. And Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who truly is our life, Lord, that Father, we ask that you would help us to choose to follow His wisdom and not our own. Father, to be strengthened, to be rooted in Him, not just as individuals, Lord, but as a collective here in this place so that we can be truly overflowing with thanksgiving for what you have done. Father, help us to praise you, not only here in this place, but as we go from here, that others may see your wisdom at work in us and come to know Jesus as well. We love you, Lord. We thank you most of all for Jesus and your Holy Spirit. Through Jesus that we pray. Amen.